Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Brandon Kiley, happy to go out to the 101 ESPN hotline to be joined by our Cardinals insider for The Athletic. And right here on 101 ESPN, she's Katie Wu. You can find her on Twitter at Katie J. Wu. Katie, I hope you're having a very happy eclipse day. How you doing?
I am well, guys. I'm actually very excited for this eclipse. Polo Asensio and I are going to go watch it downtown, and he also just went to Costco. So he brought me a chicken bake. So vibes are really high on this Monday afternoon.
Do you have the glasses, Katie, or are you just going to wing it and say, I'm going to stare at it and see what happens? Oh, my God, BK has the freaking glasses.
Of course I have the glasses.
No.
Safety matters. Safety matters,
Katie,
you guys.
You just try it out and see what happens.
Can't see anything in these things.
I have like six pairs of glasses, okay? I came very prepared.
So, Katie, you'll be in the path of totality.
Correct.
With a chicken bake.
Literally could not have a more perfect day.
All right, really, Katie, is. Let's talk about the Cardinals. Over the weekend, they split against Miami, but they do take two out of three, take two out of three against San Diego. We are now 10 games into the season. How would you assess where we're at the 10-game mark?
You know, I think when you take into consideration who the Cardinals started the season against and how they've played collectively, I think they're off to a pretty solid start, and I get 5-5 is nothing to write home about. Like, oh, they're 500, great. But it's so much bigger than that. I think the Cardinals have played some really competitive baseball. They were competitive in every game except for opening day and their last game against Miami. And I think we're just seeing a lot of scrap and a lot of fight from a team that is still very much missing a lot of key parts. But the stop gaps that they've plugged in have performed relatively well. So I think if you're looking at this total picture over the last 10 games, there's a lot to be excited about for the Cardinals, knowing that, one, their strength of schedule has been pretty difficult and will continue to be difficult. And two, these reinforcements that they're missing are coming back, but the guys that they've been using to fill in those gaps have also performed pretty well.
Katie, would you say that if Mike Schilt was the manager, he would be talking about how they're scratching and clawing their way back into games?
I actually typed, unironically, scratching and clawing in a story, and I said, let me change the wording there.
God, that's why I love you, Katie. You realize that it's a Mike Schilt line, and Brandon would get upset about it if you put it in there. When you look at these next two series, though, Katie, because I'm with you, like 5-5 at this point is a good spot to be in for the Cardinals, even if you did lose the first win to the Miami Marlins of the season. But how impactful do you feel like the measurement for the Cardinals is going to be against the Phillies and Diamondbacks?
Yeah, that'll be a tough test. It'll be a tough test for their pitching more than anything. We can get to the offense because I actually think there's more concerns offensively than pitching-wise. But I think what you're seeing from the starting rotation, and this is a group of guys that are still getting their feel, obviously, but you're seeing progress. You're seeing potential. I caught some flack for this on Twitter yesterday, but take Kyle Gibson, for example. You get up six runs in the first inning. No one's loving that, right? No one's saying, oh, great start, Kyle Gibson.
BK was.
Sarcastically. But
I'm going to agree with her here.
Cook. The fact that he was able to get through six innings after a disastrous first inning is completely different from last year, where you would have pitchers that could only get through two or three and still give up six runs, and then you're depleting the bullpen. So was an ideal start from Kyle Gibson yesterday? No, not at all. But he got through six. He saved the bullpen. The Cardinals only needed to use two guys, and they were lower leverage guys, to finish the game. So now you have a mostly well-rested bullpen that you're going to need, especially on Tuesday with Sonny Gray on a pitch limit. It's those kinds of little things that I think give me confidence in this Cardinals club, because already we're seeing drastic improvements from last year.
Here's what you're talking about, Katie. Last year, similar type of a situation. It's April 3rd. Cardinals have Jake Woodford on the mound. He gives up six earned runs in 4 1/3 innings and throws 95 pitches. He could not go any deeper into the game. They had to get him out at that point. And then you got to use Zach Thompson for 1 2/3. You use Jordan Hicks for two innings. You use Packy Naughton for an inning. The next day, Steven Matz goes five innings. Then you got to use Drew Verhagen for a couple of innings. Polante, Gallegos. And now after that, they go on a four-game losing streak and lose six of their next seven, in part because the bullpen is fried and it had a trickle-down effect where they could not use those guys in the ensuing days. this is what they were able to avoid. They lost yesterday. That sucks. And the game was not well pitched by Kyle Gibson in that first inning in particular. But by going six innings, he allows them to basically start anew today. They don't allow one loss to become two, three, or four. And that was a significant problem for them this time last year.
Look who's cooking now. BK, I could not agree with you more. No, but that's spot on, and that's so imperative, especially with the Phillies coming to town, because we know the Phillies can rake, and we know, for as exciting as it is that Sonny Gray will make his Cardinals debut tomorrow, he's going to be limited. And, guys, I've actually been really impressed by the bullpen. I think that high-leverage group of Giovanni Gallegos, JoJo Romero, Andrew Kittredge, and Ryan Helsley could really be something super talented. But the reason the bullpen has been so effective all around, not just talking about those four guys, is because the starting rotation has been able to notch innings and let the bullpen basically be used as designed. So that's something that the Cardinals weren't able to do virtually all of last year. And I think it'll be a good test for this Cardinals team now, you know, with knowing that they're going to have to cover a couple of extra innings with Gray, to see how they fare up against a really talented lineup in Philadelphia.
Katie Wu is our guest here on 101 ESPN for another few minutes here on BK and Ferrario. You mentioned Sonny Gray getting his start on Tuesday, the debut for him in a Cardinals uniform. I am curious how, based on your information, talking to people around the club, how did that come to be? Because this time last week, we were under the assumption that he was going to be making one more start down in the minors.
Right. As we know, things change quickly here in Cardinals land. I think it came down to Sonny feeling 100% himself. That's what he told Ollie Marmol. That's what he told us after the game yesterday. And look, there's been instances in the past, Jack Flaherty in 2022, Adam Wainwright to some extent in 2023, where pitchers didn't finish, and I say finish, meaning their like scheduled rehab, and instead continue progressing at the major leagues. I think this is a little different with Sonny. Yes, there's that concern. We've made a big deal about the importance of covering innings, and Steven Matz is still somewhat limited, so that's another guy they're going to have to consider. But I think with Sonny Gray, you know, we don't know what he brings this organization as a competitor. You have to trust him if you're Ollie Marmol. If he says he's ready to go as a manager, you have to trust that. The Cardinals are also aided by a slew of, I think they have the next four Thursdays off in a row, so they do have a built-in rest day for their bullpen. So I think it just came down to Sonny felt great. He wants to get going. It's not necessarily a matter of concern over the hamstring at this point. It's just building his pitch count up. So if he's good to go in that regard, the hamstring is the most important thing going forward. So I'll be interested to see how that looks during his start tomorrow. But I think at this point, if he's good for 70 pitches, I can understand the Cardinals wanting him to get out there.
All right, Katie, you mentioned the concern for the offense. What is your concern?
You know, I think it's less of a concern because I'm pretty confident guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado are going to find their power. But I will say it's not the most exciting offense in the world, but the Cardinals have done a really good job, given who they have on their roster right now, in generating runs, taking extra bases. I think they lead baseball coming into Sunday with 20 extra bases taken. That's including on sac flies, bunts, interference, pass balls. So they take the 90 feet when they can. You'd like to see more power from this lineup. This is an offense that I know I was very high on coming into the season, and I think you guys were too. You'd like to see more power numbers from Arenado, from Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt's kind of going through it after his opening day in L.A. Nolan Gorman looks like he's starting to get going. Remember, this is an offense that's missing some key guys, and Newt Barr, who could be back today. They're still, you know, not official as of yet. And they're without Tommy Edman, of course. So you're relying on guys like Mason Winn and Victor Scott, not necessarily power hitters, but you're relying on those guys to get on base. So to me, the lack of power is something to note, but it's not the end of the world. But I do think this would be the prime series for those bats to come alive, because one thing about Philadelphia, they're going to come out raking.
Do you think, just speculation, not reporting, Katie, and people should know that on the front end of this, is pure speculation, reckless speculation by all of us on the radio right now, do you think that Lars Nootbaar will be ready to go by tonight? Is that your expectation?
Oh, my speculation would be yes, because again, this is not a medical decision. He's been cleared medically for a while. It's a baseball decision. You know, did he get enough reps? Has he gotten his timing down? Keep in mind, Lars got injured pretty early in game action in spring, so he didn't have a lot of at-bats, but he's had five games now. He's been a full nine for most of them. So my indication would be, if Lars feels like he's ready, like he feels like he's got his timing down, we'll see him activated today. I'm not sure the Cardinals would need to carry three catchers at this point. However, if Contreras is still not ready to go, I can see the organization saying, let's continue to give Lars a couple more days, That way they can keep Pajes up there and kind of give Contreras the time that he needs. But my speculation would be that Lars Nootbaar is back.
The Cardinals always thinking to be patient with their players.
That's right. I've heard that once or twice before. All right, final thing, Katie. We'll get you out of here on this one. Ryan Helsley was announced this weekend by Ollie Marmol. He's going to be exclusively used as a traditional closer this year. One inning, get him in the ninth whenever they're up. What'd you make of that? What do you think went into that decision?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up because I found it to be pretty interesting. You could see the trend develop over the last week on Helsley's usage, and Ollie Marmol was pretty good at dropping the hints and saying, you know, Helsley was asking for the ball in the ninth if we had a lead. And when you're looking at how the Cardinals constructed their bullpen, everyone has a role, right? But they're also very versatile in how these high-leverage guys can be used. You can throw Gio in the sixth. He's done it. He did it on Saturday. You can throw JoJo anywhere depending on matchup. Same with Kittredge. So to do that, the Cardinals were able to look at Helsley and say, hey, instead of us asking you, you know, when we have a lead to go get the outs we have remaining, how about we just ask you for three outs in the ninth? It will allow you to be more prepared. It will allow you to take better care of your body. It will allow us to kind of script our game from there. You will know what your responsibility is. If we have a lead in the ninth, you're getting those three outs. And talking to Helsley yesterday, he was completely on board with it. It's something they had conversations about before spring. So this is something he's known for a while. And it also allows him to take the ball on back-to-back days. So a big reason why Helsley wasn't able to do that in seasons prior is because he was often asked to get 4-5 innings in the eighth and ninth. And, you know, that can be a pretty taxing workload. So because the Cardinals finally have the options to supplement behind Helsley, last year they had Giovanni Gallegos sometimes, and that was it. Because they finally have those options and can slot them in accordingly depending on matchup, they can use Helsley as a traditional closer. And I think that will actually be very imperative for the bullpen going forward.